On this series about recovery, I really believe again that God is having us in a season, a time to recover things that have been lost from our lives. God has things He wants us to see restored back into our lives also once again. And I believe there's things also that God wants for America that He wants to see recovered for our country, for this city, and for this nation. We're not going to let the enemy define what America is like, where America is going to be headed here. It must be defined by God's people, by God's kingdom. And I know God's doing a work not just in our nation, but in nations all over the earth. There's a tremendous work of God going on where we're seeing entire nations being impacted for the Lord in good, righteous, glorious ways. Even revivals are breaking out in more and more nations every single year. And I praise God for the harvest that's happening nationwide, worldwide, across this world today in many parts of this world. I want to speak this morning here about God's provision in a time of famine. God's provision in a time of famine, because I really believe it. We need to catch hold in our own hearts again, no matter what even our own nation goes through in these last days, the nations as well around us. We cannot be those who buy into the culture and the kingdom of our nation only. We must buy into God's kingdom there, because God still, I believe, has a mandate for this country to be a place that's going to be a lending nation, a nation that gives out until Christ returns, until Christ comes back. But also got to understand that the institution of the Church of Jesus Christ, local churches like this one, are those bastions, I believe, of freedom and of faith and liberty that God's going to cause to get stronger and stronger in these last days, not weaker and weaker. Amen. We're only as strong as the people sitting in the chairs and the pews across the local churches of this nation. I heard one famous leader of our country years ago. He said that America will only be a great nation as long as they remain good. When America no longer is good, they'll no longer also be great. Now, goodness is only defined by God and God's Word. Amen? Because the Bible also tells us that in the last days, men will be calling what is evil good and calling what is good actually evil. So let us always be those defining what good is by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and what God calls good in our lives. Amen? So we see here again in this message I'm going to be speaking about how God, I believe, wants to also, first of all, vanquish a spirit of fear off the people of Jesus Christ. We're going to be hearing reports around us on an ongoing basis of things taking place again in our economy, in our geography, in politics, in nations around the earth that could really stir up many anxious thoughts and anxious feelings inside even the people of God if the enemy would have his way. I believe that God wants fear to be broken off His people on a daily basis, because the fear is exactly the opposite of faith. Amen. Without faith, we cannot please God, do what God's called us to do. And fear will always paralyze us. Fear will always cause us to see things in a self-preserving type limelight. And fear will also always give us a hope for what the enemy can do, not in what God can be doing in our lives and through our lives until Jesus Christ comes back. Fear is one of the biggest things that all leaders have faced throughout history as wars have faced countries. We've heard speeches after speeches there about how we must not let fear grip our hearts and grip our nation as we're facing sometimes big enemies all around us. You got to realize again that the Bible says, that the psalmist David, I believe, is one of the ones that said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." What he was saying there was, see God as He really is. When the Israelites saw the giants in Canaan land and they crossed the Jordan River, those 10 spies who were unbelieving, they only saw the bigness of their enemy. They could not see the bigness of their God. And I believe in these last days, it's very, very important to be seeing with eyes of faith, to see things the way that God sees them, not the way your flesh sees that, because there are giants around us. These giants are nothing compared to our giant God, His giant angels, and the giant hosts of heaven that are always on our side. And the Spirit of God that lives in us also is a great God, a great Spirit. And God's going to give us, God says to us time and time again, greater is He that is in you than he that is ever in this world. Okay? Let's read now 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to start here in verse 1. This is a New King James Version as well. And again, I appreciate James and the worship team and all our helpers here. Put this presentation together. God bless you. That was just a real inspiring time as well. I appreciate all of our troops, those who have been in the armed forces, all they've done. They've laid their lives down for us. Sons and daughters, wives and husbands, lost loved ones, have lost loved ones in wars. And we just need to be praying for, again, their protection on a daily basis as part of our duty as well as people of America and people of God's kingdom. 1 Kings 17, starting here in verse 1 through 6, it says, Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. That's why, again, I pray for rain on an ongoing basis, even in Texas in drought time, because it says, at my word, rain will come forth, okay? And so I'm believing that God's in God's word, we're going to see rain, more rain coming forth this week in Jesus' name. That's a kind of a diversion there. Verse 2, then the word of the Lord came to him and said, get away from here and turn eastward, hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan River. And it shall be that you shall drink from the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. And so it says, he went, and he did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the mornings, and bread and meat also in the evenings, and he drank from the brook. Now verse 9, going down here. It says, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow to provide for you there. And so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called up to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may now drink. Now verse 13. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. Bring it to me. Afterward, make some for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel. This is what God says to you and I as well. The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord, the day the Lord sends rain back upon the earth. And so she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her husband, or her, I'm sorry, her household, ate for many days, is what is being saying here in this word. I'm going to give you some things that I want you to take and maybe write some things down, think about some things as well today about this story of Elijah, about the widow in Zarephath, and about her son. And if I heard the Spirit of God saying to me time and time again this weekend, very strongly was, I want you to tell the folks in Tree of Life Church, we are not like the widow in this story. We are like Elijah. God's not going to call us to go into a place where we're so poor, so broke, and so poverty-stricken. All we have left is a little bit of grain, a little bit of oil. We're hoping for some prophet to show up there and the man of God to show up there and bring a miracle to our house. What God is saying is, I've turned those things around when Jesus Christ died upon the cross. The same Spirit that lived in Elijah now lives in you and I today. We're to be like the Elijahs in these last days, and those that have the supply to be giving out there the word of God and bring forth the resources of those around us that are like that widow in these last days. I'd be doing you guys the disservice if I did not fill you guys with what God's word says and see faith be rising in your hearts in these last days. I believe there'll be very tumultuous times take place before Jesus Christ comes back, even more so than we've seen in times past. Those things should not cause us to fear. They should cause us to say, Father God, place inside of me everything you want to put in me to be prepared like those virgins who had the oil lamps who were full of oil, prepared for anything the enemy sends against the world in these last days. Because I'm going to have that spirit of Elijah in my life as well to bring forth your word, to bring forth your supply, and to bring forth your miracles of provision in these last days. Amen. So the first thing here you might want to write down today is, number one, God sustains Elijah with ravens. With ravens. Understand this is, again, not only unusually spiritually, it's also even unusual in the realms of nature. You're going to find through research that ravens are like crows. They are very greedy and very selfish and very aggressive birds on the face of the earth. In fact, ravens are so selfish and so greedy, they even barely feed their own young and sometimes neglect their own young and push them out of the nest at a very, very young age, even fend for themselves. You might start seeing around Austin all kinds of grackles that are, I'm sure, in the raven family. These are all unclean birds. I'm not sure why they're here. These grackles make all kind of demon-possessed noises. Their eyes bug out, especially the males. They get five times their size and puff up to try to impress the females. And they sound like machine guns getting cocked to go off there, making strange, weird outer space noises I'd never heard in Kansas before. When I saw grackles, I told Cheryl, I said, honey, we're not in Kansas anymore. There are some weird birds in this city that make some very weird noises right around mating season in this town. Amen? And you're going to find little grackles being pushed out of the nest by their greedy parents who say, this is my food. You take care of yourself. Get out of here. You're a teenager. You're old enough. This is verified in Job chapter 38. The Bible verifies this about the ravens. Job 38 verse 41. It says, who provides food for the raven when the young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food. And so the raven is chosen by God to actually take and get food, get meat in his beak, get bread in his beak, and not eat it for himself, but provide food for the man of God until the man of God gets God's instructions to go to the person in need called the widow of Zarephath and take care of her needs as well. God is saying that I am plainly showing you that right in the midst of famine, I'm going to bring forth something unnatural in your life to take care of needs for your life. Do not become weary. Do not become fearful in these last days. I will even cause the raven, so to speak, in a spiritual, supernatural sense, to take care of the needs of God's people in these last days. God's trying to paint a picture here in the Old Testament to give us encouragement in 2013 that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God is saying through unnatural means, through unknown means, through things that actually go against nature, God will somehow raise up things in our behalf to bring forth a supply for those who need that in times of poverty, in times of lack upon the nations of the earth. Number two, second thing here, God sustains him with a widow woman. In Elijah's culture, everybody knew that the widows were known to be poor, known to be needy, and known to need supply from somebody else. Notice that God tells Elijah, he says, see, I have called a widow to provide for you. We need to start and see here what nobody else sees here. And that is, there are people everywhere around Elijah in this hour. But God sends Elijah not to those folks that have no need. He sends Elijah to folks who do have need. So God's saying to you and I, in these last days, in times of famine around us, understand you're called to be meeting needs, not just seeing the needs of your life and your family's life met only in these last days. God wants us postured to be those that recover from things around us that have put us into perhaps a financial backward momentum there, and see supply take place in our lives so mightily that it brings forth not just blessings to our lives, but also lives of those folks we're going to be influencing, touching, and helping out in these last days. Amen. Let's look now in our Bibles at Genesis chapter 26, the story about Isaac. Genesis 26, we're going to start reading here in verse 1 in a moment. Perhaps the uncommon faith of Elijah is what actually motivated the widow herself. When she got around Elijah's anointing and Elijah's faith, she had the faith to say, okay, I can give up my last meal, my last bit of oil, and make this man of God a cake like he asked for. Perhaps her faith rubbed off onto her faith, and her unbelief and her fear she was living in, her survival mentality she was living in, was, I believe, broken for a season long enough to believe what the prophet said was true. I can give to him, give to God, and now watch God bring supply back to me on an ongoing basis. Genesis 26, verse 1 is about the famine that took place upon the land of Israel back in the times of Abraham and Isaac. It took place in Abraham's death. It lasted for many, many years. It followed right into Isaac's birth and also into his adulthood as well. The famine was still happening upon the people of Israel and the people of this land here in Abraham and Isaac's day. So verse 1 says this, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, in Gerar. I realize again that Israel and the Philistines are mentioned time and time again as Israel being righteous and godly and the Philistines being ungodly and of the flesh. As a matter of fact, the word Philistine actually means one controlled by the flesh. We see here that Isaac, who's not following in his own father's footsteps, when times of famine, times of need, and times of want take place in his life, he doesn't look to God first. He looks to the Philistines, first of all. He says, these guys have food. They have supply. They have all they need. I'm going to get me and my family to survive here and go down to the place called the Philistines. Notice here what it says in verse 2, though, next of all. Verse 2, God answers back to Isaac. And it says, then the Lord appeared to Isaac, and he said to him, do not go down to Egypt, but dwell in the land which I will tell you. Now, this sounds kind of confusing because God's saying don't go to Egypt, but Isaac's going to Philistia. Why would God say that? Well, the fact is, God sees where your wrong decisions will take you in your life, even in advance. You see, Philistia is on the way to Egypt. And God knew that if Isaac goes to Philistia, he will be so consumed by their culture, their unbelief, their idolatry, and their fear of lack, he'll find himself eventually in Egypt, where all will be lost again for my people I've made covenant with, says the Lord. So God says, don't you find yourself going down to Egypt, not Philistia, but Egypt. And Isaac, of course, here's what God says. Praise God, he turns his own mind around, and God gives him a place then to go to called Gerar, a place of divine provision and a place of blessing. So verse 6 goes on and says this. So Isaac dwells in Gerar, and Isaac and his family are there. He saw some family issues that are there. Then verse 11 goes on and says, or verse 12 goes on and says, then Isaac sowed in the land of Gerar and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him in the time of famine. The key thing here in this verse is, when you're hearing what God says to do in a time of famine, you will always, always be blessed and be better off than going the way of your flesh, your intellect, your reasonings in times of famine around you. Amen? I believe God's going to give people in the church opportunities here and mandates to sow into things, whether it be stocks or bonds or investments or just helping folks out that are needy around you, that God's going to breathe on and bless so mightily you won't be able to contain the blessings God pours back into your life by hearing God's voice and doing what God says to do. Amen? It might even mean new jobs. It might mean new promotions, new raises, new positions there. I believe God's going to start opening up more and more doors to folks in this congregation in those realms. Matter of fact, I'm going to be praying for you guys at the end of this service before the offering is taken today. That's why I waited till the very end of the service this morning. I believe God wants to release some things upon this congregation here in the realm of finances, the realm of economics, and begin to take and break some things off some people's lives and loose some good things into our lives to get us postured for a great increase in all dimensions of our lives in the realms of economy and the realms of finances here especially. Okay, moving on here. Verse 13. It says, verse 13 again, the man began to prosper. He continued prospering until he became what? He became very prosperous. We've all heard that those words in the New Testament says, those who take and sow, they shall reap abundantly, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. I see this kind of being broken down here in this verse back in Genesis 26 and verse 13, where it says, first of all, he began to prosper. I believe God wants some of you folks here that are just living kind of hand to mouth, your nose barely above the waters of debt and financial pressure. He wants you to get beyond survival in the realm of the 30-fold, at least to start out there, you begin to prosper. Amen? Then beyond that's a 60-fold return that says here, you continue prospering. Some folks have got it seems like almost a curse on their lives. They begin to prosper, and all of a sudden, the AC breaks down, the car breaks down, the kids get sick, and all kinds of unusual bills take place in our lives. And what the prosperity did for us for a season gets robbed from us and taken away from us. It says here, he began to prosper and then continued prospering. Then a 100-fold return goes on and says, and became what? Became very prosperous. And that means prosperity now defines Isaac, not famine, not lack, not economic ruin, but now prosperity now defines Isaac's life. Amen. Now realize also, and a balanced part of this is, being anointed and godly and spiritual and righteous does not equal being rich in this life. You understand that? I will never preach here that if you serve God, love God, and are righteous upon the earth, God will always make you wealthy and rich upon the earth. That's not true. You go preach that somewhere in the middle of Uganda. Preach that in the Sudan to those guys living on $10 a week or a month in their income. God loves them in Sudan as much as he loves you and I. Amen? Those guys aren't going to become, though, multimillionaires next week, okay? Most of them aren't going to become like that in the body of Christ, okay? So what I'm saying to you guys is, the balanced approach to this thing is, realize that Elijah the prophet went through a season where all he had was a raven and a brook and some meal and some meat, probably from Ahab's table, coming to him by an unclean bird. That's why Paul the Apostle, in a balanced way, said, I have learned to be abased. I've learned to be and want around me I've also learned to prosper and be blessed in great ways, but in all these conditions, I have learned to be content. That is true prosperity, and that is true wealth in the body of Christ. Amen? And so God wants you to be prospering, I believe, above all else, in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. But also in the natural realm, I believe God wants to prosper His people, even financially, that He might be a bigger blessing to folks around them, like the widow of Zarephath, as time goes by. Last of all, number three, God provides even in times of famine. That's where, again, we as the body of Christ in Tree of Life Church, in Austin, Texas, and across our entire nation, no matter what the stock market does, no matter what our 401k plan does, no matter how many folks Dell Computer lays off this year, we cannot put our faith and our hope, our trust in what man does around us only on the earth. Amen? And I'm saying again, but your trust may always be in the Lord. But I'm saying also be asking God, direct my footsteps, guide my footsteps, give me wisdom, Father God. Help me, Lord, be one who is finding myself in constant prosperity that I might find a flow there. So if anything of leanness takes place in my life, I am like the wise virgins who has my oil lamps full of oil. And I can see, God, that you're going to be there with me to see me through these calamities that may take place on this earth in these last days. I'm saying today God's anointing is here. Also, I believe today to pray for the cancellation of debts. I believe God wants the body of Christ to get more and more out of debt, not more and more into debt in these last days. Amen. How many folks here in kind of an unembarrassing type of way can say you've already seen God do miracles to help you cancel debt in your life? Would you raise your hand? How many folks are like that? We see about one-third of the congregation. Now, see, all of us that are raising our hands, especially here, have been hearing what God has been saying for years and years now. It's time to take seriously there sometimes, putting some things off for the future as far as purchases go, perhaps, and then live to get debts down and down and down and down in our lives more and more in these last days. I believe God's going to give us an anointing and ability to see debts being canceled off of our lives in every part of our lives. Amen. And praise God for folks like James Kreitz and his wife who've been disciplined there for years. Their house is totally paid for now. It's our desire here, Cheryl and myself, to see our house be paid for in less than 5 years. And, of course, a house is kind of like an investment type thing where you can actually sell that thing and get some money from that. But I'm saying if you're upside down in your cars, if you're upside down in any kind of realm of debt like that, be asking God, give me, Lord, your wisdom, your grace, that I can still sow in a time of famine, in a time of debt and need, and I can see ideas, creativity, favor, and blessings come more so my way to see these debts broken off my life in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe God's going to give us the ability to do that also in our lives. I want to ask number two here. How many folks here have also found in the past couple of weeks that lost things like lost diamond rings or lost important papers, lost valuables, you actually have found something in the past couple of weeks that was lost? Anybody can raise your hand like that? How many folks do you have? Right here in the front, over here. God spoke to my heart as well this week and said, you're going to start finding lost things in your household once again. You'd be amazed at how there's been testimonies around our nation, how God is even sometimes putting folks in the right place at the right time to see $100 bills and 50s on the ground. They're seeing in their billfold surprise money appear. I'm not saying expect those things yourself all the time. I wish God would do that for me all the time as well. But I'm saying God has given us anointing and ability to see lost things recovered in Jesus' name. I believe it's important for us to take and identify some things we've lost by injustice, by the thief. Identify those things and command that those things will come back to us in Jesus' name. Amen. It might be wrong decisions in investing, wrong decisions in spending habits. I'm saying we need to pray to God those things come back in Jesus' name. So as I close this service here before the offering is taken this morning for what we call Debt Reduction Sunday, I'm believing God even today through our congregation that you have heard God's voice this month. You're going to be sowing this month in a generous way. It's going to help us in our congregation here as well at Tree of Life Church see some needs being met more so down for now and for the future. We don't find ourselves having want or having anything to be concerned about in the realm of finances. And I want to see today not just a one-time debt offering take place on a Sunday morning like this. I want to see released upon this congregation today an ongoing flow of obedience of hearing God's voice about the tithes and about the offerings for a place like this. That's called the Tree of Life Church. Amen. There have been so many congregations around our entire nation that have gone backwards and backwards and backwards in the realm of tithes and offerings and finances, because folks are seeing the rattlings of fear around them in our economy, and they're fearful about their future, and they're holding back. The first thing they hold back is the tithes and the offerings. And I'm saying, don't do that. Be those who sow in a time of famine like Isaac himself did, because God is able to cause all grace to come to us, as only He can do. So as you're praying this morning here, as you have been praying about sowing, what you're going to be sowing today in this tithes and offerings and debt reduction Sunday, I want to pray with you guys a prayer before I have the ushers come to the front first. And I'm going to be praying here, loosing some things right now in faith for your lives, for your families, your household, use a single person as well, that God will release these things in your life in Jesus' name. Let's first of all together as a congregation pray. Number one, let's pray for jobs. Father God, we pray together as a congregation this day. All those who need jobs at Tree of Life Church, we say their footsteps are being ordered by the power of the Holy Spirit. We declare, Father God, the job you have for them shall be theirs in Jesus' name. We bind every work of the enemy that would try to hold back the jobs you want to release, O God, for the people of our congregation. And we thank you, Father God, you're the one that brings forth provision on an ongoing basis. Sometimes, O God, many times even through our jobs, you do that. And we speak blessings, God, upon the people for that in Jesus' name. Let's pray right now for raises and bonuses. How many of us know that God wants you to get raises? He wants you to get bonuses. He wants favor to come on your life. So let's pray for that right now. Father God, we praise and thank you, Lord, that you are the one that has your hand on our bosses, our corporations, the place we work at, O God. We command right now raises will come forth. We command bonuses be loosed to these people, O God, in Jesus' name. We see, O God, abundance come their way, favor come their way, Father God. Divine increase will be their portion, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. Next of all, let's pray now for sales and commissions. Some of you guys are living here on sales and commissions. God wants to bring you better sales, bigger contracts, more commission. God is for that, not against that. Amen. So, Father, we declare we are not selfish. We are not greedy. We are those, O God, that are your servants called by your power, your grace, to serve a lost and dying world that needs Jesus Christ. We declare those that are living on sales and commissions that new contracts come their way, that more sales be loosed, every hindrance be broken in the name of Jesus. There shall come forth greater commission, greater favor, and I thank you, Father God, the favor of God, the blessings of God overtake all those in our congregation living on sales and commission this day in Jesus' name. Let's pray right now for all of us to have wise investments. Now, Father, we praise you, O God, that you're the one that gives us ideas. There are so many ways to go in investing the finances, God, you place in our hands. Help us, O God, to be wise stewards of all that you have given to us. Put a check in our spirit for bad investments. Let us, O God, receive a confirmation, a quickening inside of our hearts on where to invest our funds, our monies, in the days ahead. We will obey your voice, and we believe you, God, for good investments that bring forth good returns. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Let's pray next of all now about leaving an inheritance. The Bible says a good man does what? Leaves an inheritance for his children's children, grandkids, okay? So let's pray that that will be the case. Father, we praise you, O Lord, this day for our children and our children's children. We choose right now to bless them in days ahead. We declare we will leave an inheritance for our children and their children in the name of Jesus Christ. Anything that would hinder that, we bind and rebuke that in the name of Jesus. We declare, Father God, we're not going to live, we're not going to die broke and in debt and destitute. We're going to find ourselves having more than enough on the day of our death or until Jesus Christ comes back. Then it doesn't matter. We praise you and bless you, O God. We are going to be those who have a blessing to leave to our children and their children in the name of Jesus. Next of all, let's pray right now. Let's pray that things won't break in your household. Your AC will last longer. Your car will last longer. Things won't break in Jesus' name. Father, we praise and bless you. The Israelites would walk for 40 years in the wilderness, and their shoes did not wear out, and their clothes did not have holes. We praise you, God, that you're able to give us, Lord, longevity in the things we own. Help us, God, be content with such things as we have, knowing, Father God, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We right now declare the things we have will not break and not break down and not become malfunctioning in the name of Jesus. Computers, cars, houses, we praise you, God, for divine protection over all these things, oh God, that you blessed us with, and they will not break in the name of Jesus. The next thing, let's pray the thief is rebuked. Right now we bind every thief that would come and try to steal from us. We rebuke you and bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. We command the blessings of God be upon all the works of our hands, and the thief has no place in our household or upon our lives in Jesus' name. Next of all, let's pray that a poverty mentality be broken. The prophet that came to our church here about a month ago, he said, over your church, be praying for a poverty mentality be broken. In this region of Pflugerville, there's a poverty mentality in this whole region that's been in the atmosphere around us. Let's break that thing back, because what poverty mentality does, it says hold back, grab on to all you can get, and don't give to anybody around you. And let's see that whole spirit there broken off our lives in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you, O Lord. We are those that are not called to have just barely enough to get by in life. Let the power of poverty, let that spirit, God, be broken off of the peoples, O God, of this region, of this city, and of this local church in the name of Jesus. Let us, O God, detect a poverty mentality inside of our own lives. We have poverty in giving out compliments. We have poverty in giving of our time. We have poverty in giving out gracious things. We have poverty in giving out of our finances and things you've given, O God, to us. We right now break and bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. And we right now loose a spirit of generosity and liberality in Jesus' wonderful name. We praise you for your faith. Loose to God upon your people this day in Jesus' name. Last of all, we're going to pray here, almost last of all, we're going to pray for expenses to decrease upon the people of our congregation. Lord God, I pray for expenses to decrease, debt to be broken. Debt, Father God, be off the people. Monthly expenses diminish. Monthly expenses go down. Monthly expenses decrease. In the name of Jesus, give us creativity, O God, the abilities to see expenses, God, decrease upon the church, upon your people, God, upon the congregation. We say decrease in the name of Jesus, that God may increase and bring forth blessings. We praise you, God, for that. Now again, last of all, for sure, we're going to pray right now that a spirit of fear be broken off each one of us. We're not going to be like the widow who cowered in fear and felt she was going to die and she's going to give all hope. God wants to take that spirit of the widow off of us and put a spirit of Elijah in us. When Elijah came to the widow, he had no fear in his life. He just came out of a brook with a raven and food coming from a bird for who knows how long. That's all he had. But he was not fearful. He said, I'm hearing what God says, and that's all that matters. I'm saying the spirit of Elijah is coming upon the church of Jesus Christ as well, and not go by natural circumstances around us, but go by faith in what God is saying to us. So, Father, I pray today, anything causing fear in our lives, we know it's not of the devil, not of God, it's of the enemy. Because, Father God, your word says fear has torment, and there's no torment in the kingdom of God. Lord, your word says when you pray, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It is your will, Father God, that no man have fear in their lives. Perfect love, your word says, cast down fear. We receive right now the perfect love of Jesus Christ in our lives. We don't fear the future. We don't fear the present. We don't fear our leaders of our nation's government. We don't fear armies of foreign countries. We don't fear economic collapse. We don't fear the weather. We don't fear geographical turmoil around us. The spirit of fear be broken off your people, Father God, this day. We don't even fear death in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father God, that death's sting has no more dominion over our lives. We say, where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your torment? It's not upon us anymore. But the God spirit now rules in us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ushers, come to the front now, if you would, please, with your hands.